Welcome to the Funcast. I'm Stefan Rudd. This is a civil war. It's not the kind where we're using guns and weapons to take out the other side, and we're not killing people on either side of the fence of the aisle. The civilians are not up in arms with weapons in the streets fighting for an agenda. But this is a civil war of information. And more accurately, this is an optics war. This is a war between, we're trying to actually avoid a real civil war in this country. And the left, the deep state, the Democrats and the GOP who are corrupted, they want to have a real life civil war. They want to have the bodies in the street, the dead bodies, the killings. They want to have the citizens going against each other, because then it gives them the opportunity to federalize the National Guard and the military, and then they can begin to attack both of us at one time. Why do you think that they wanted to get rid of the police? Defund the police, increase crime, and then what happens? You have crime all over the country. And what do? You federalize the National Guard. And now you've been ranked by the military. They wanted to nationalize policing in the country. They want to nationalize law enforcement so that there's not state individuality anymore. And everything is going towards that same. Their agenda is all trying to achieve the same goal. And that is to have a federal state. And that's it. They want a federal state. They don't want Maryland. They don't want a New York or a Texas or a Florida. They don't want to have individual states. They want to have a federalized country that's unified behind one name. And then they want to make that name or make the power so it's the federal government who uses the military as their policing. That's what they want, y'all. So they're doing all these things here to create the optics that's necessary to create that environment. Now, why is that important? Because if they can have a federalized country where Florida can't do what they're doing now, well, Florida can't go against the laws given by the federal government, the mandates given by the federal government. They want to be able to not have to go to Congress, the Supreme Courts, none of the courts. They don't want to have to write laws anymore. They want to be able to decree and have it be shown. Just like they've done with Joe Biden, if you want to call him the president or the real Joe Biden. Just like what he has been doing for the first few months of his term, is that he's been circumventing the Congress, even though he has. And here's the part that's really crazy. He actually has Congress and the Senate and the White House. But how many laws has he passed? He's not passing laws, y'all. The only laws that he's really passing are the stimulus laws, bills. Those are being signed by both houses and signed into law by Joe Biden. But you don't see him signing any other laws. What happened to the gun bill? Where they want to ban not just, you know, ARs, but they want to ban, like, in the bill, the assault rifle is being labeled the way it is, named the way it is, because they want to be able to ban anything that they consider an assault rifle. Could be a handgun. And there were some handguns in there that was being banned in the bill. They want to be able to ban weapons and guns. Where did it go? Did it pass the Senate? How about the equality bill, where they legally made pedophilia legal if you were 13 years old and above? That if you were 13 years old and above, you become under the Equality Bill that passed the Congress. It would have made that child eligible, almost like a legal adult. And then, of course, if the child was 10 years within the age of the adult, it wasn't considered rape anymore or pedophilia. That was actually in the bill, y'all. Where did it go? Did it pass the Senate? How many bills have they actually gotten passed? They wrote a bill up, you know, to federalize the voting laws to make it so that whatever they did in the last election, this is the summary of it, all the things they used to cheat in the last election, which the main one is being able to count votes, you know, indefinitely after the election's over, until they can find, you know, enough votes to win. They wrote laws for that, and it didn't pass the Senate. How come they can't pass laws? How come they can't? And that part right there is a question to ask all by itself. How come they're not allowed to pass laws? If they, when Trump had the first 2 years of office of his first term, when he had the Senate and the Congress, he was doing everything he wanted to do. He passed every law he wanted to pass, except for the he couldn't repeal and replace Obamacare because of one guy who we won't name. But everything he wanted to do, besides that, he was doing it. He was passing laws. He was removing laws. He was amending laws like crazy. As a matter of fact, 80% of his laws, the laws that he actually wrote, probably close to 9% of the laws he wrote, he did it in the first 2 years when he had the House and the Congress, the House and the Senate in Congress. And then after that, you know, he didn't have, you know, he lost the House, so he had to EO everything from that point on. Why? Because he had power. He had the House. He had the Senate. He had both branches of the Congress. But Joe Biden has that, and he has to write EOs for everything. Why? Why does he have so much power? But does he have power at all? Is he just, do they recognize, are they already, I'm going to say it, are they already under chapter, Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution, where they're removed from power, and they haven't removed it from office yet? Are they even in D.C.? There's like videos growing out of D.C. from Richard Citizen, who's taking videos and pictures of, you know, the Capitol being abandoned, the White House being abandoned, the FBI building abandoned. Not only is the FBI building abandoned in D.C., and this is a big building, y'all. And I'm from the area, so I know the area pretty well. You can drive past it, you know, on the street. The doors are boarded up. How are they getting inside the building? The doors are boarded. There's nobody at the FBI building. Where are they? Are you hearing me? Yet on TV, it looks like Merrick Garland is the don of the mafia. I probably said that all wrong. I'm not, but you know what I'm saying. It's like he's like the, you know, he's the don. He's the one that's going to come around, go around and arrest people for this audit in Arizona, and we don't even see anyone going in and out of the FBI building. Are they just playing games? We're in an optics war. Everything is about how it looks. Nothing is as it seems. Everything is like fake. It's make-believe. It's a movie script. And we're just watching this movie play out in front of us, y'all. We're watching this play out in front. And if you question it, you look crazy. But people are starting to notice this now. And it's starting to look like, you know, maybe we're not as crazy as we're being made out to be. And there's a reason for all this. It's going to show itself soon. You can't hide the truth forever. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/StephonRudd. I'm probably going to get banned from there. So when I do, you can catch me on Telegram at t.me/StephonRudd. Everything I post on Facebook, I also post on Telegram. So you'll see the same exact posts a lot of times. I might post something different on Facebook because the audience there is different. They're more the ones of you who are good, you know who you are. But there's a large group of people up there. They're just trolls, and they had nothing better to do with their lives than to get on someone's feed and try to troll them on every post. And I ignore those guys there because they're a bunch of clowns anyway. But on Facebook, I have to do more, preaching of this stuff here, because there are people out there, you know, you'll say, oh, President Trump is not in the White House. I mean, Biden's in the White House. Oh, here's a picture of him here. And they'll find some old video, or they'll find even, you know, a fact check or something that's actually factual. But it may be, you know, doesn't, you know, whoever. That may not even be, the context of it could be off or something. So I don't even get involved with those guys anymore. When they troll, I just move on. But the content is different on Facebook sometimes, only because of that purpose alone. The people on Telegram are official, in my opinion. They understand for the most part what's going on. They're not trolling. They're there to get more information, and they're curious. Okay, so I'll post directly. I'll say things differently on Telegram than I would on Facebook, because the people on Telegram don't have to, you know, be slow walked. Okay, I'll speak in code on Facebook, so I don't look so crazy to the folks on Facebook, because they're so, like, you know, Facebook is propagandized by so much. And if you're a Facebook, I don't know what they call it, but if you're on Facebook a lot, you're probably bombarded with garbage. There's more garbage on these liberal outlets, these liberal social media outlets than it is anywhere else. So it's not uncommon to find patriots on there with garbage in their minds. Well, I don't believe stuff. I just think we're being strung along. Yeah, because you're on Facebook, you're not anywhere else. You need to get off Facebook. You need to get off these propaganda machines. Go to where you can find some true patriots who are giving you real information, and you'll be able to understand. Facebook suppresses a lot of that stuff. I post something factual on Facebook, and this is a long freaking segment here, but I will post something factual on Facebook with a link, and they will shadow ban that thing. You won't even see it, you know. And there's people say, well, hey, I haven't seen you post in 2 days. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be posting every day. And then, so they have to visit my actual profile page. They have to visit my profile page on Facebook to see everything that I've said. And it's crazy. But anyway, the point is, you know, I'm on Facebook, but, you know, I'll be gone soon because they're going to ban me soon. And when they do, I'm on Telegram, t.me/StephonRudd. I'm also on Rumble for the video version of this. rumble.com/c/StephonRudd. And lastly, the site is down because I'm moving it, thefoncast.com. Okay, so we're in this optics war. And in this optics war, you know, it's not about the truth anymore, per se. And both sides have to actually play along, because you're going to make a mess if you move too fast. Like, people say, well, how come Trump hasn't moved yet? How come he hasn't moved and he hasn't made the arrest yet? He hasn't gone into, you know, whatever. Da, da, da. And I'm like, what would happen if he makes arrests and he has not won the optics war yet? If the optics are still showing, you got patriots that support the president, that have conservative values and everything, and they're on the right team. You have patriots, and this is all on Facebook now. I deal with them all the time, who think that this is all sham. They believe that we're being strung along. They believe that we're being by Trump and whoever else. They really believe this crap. They believe that this is all a show. That there's some a lot of them even believe that Trump is deep state, and he's trying to lead us down the path where we're being marked by the enemy, And now there's a clear path. Trump, you know, brought us to a place where there's now a clear line, and now we know who is who should be executed, who shouldn't. I'm like, do you understand that they didn't need Trump? If he was deep state, they did not need Trump to do that. They already have that information because you're on Twitter, right? What are you sharing on Twitter? What are you sharing on Facebook? What are you sharing? What are you watching on YouTube? They already know who we are. Why would they send in that claim is so irritating. Why would they send in Donald Trump to go in there and to do what they already did? They already have a dividing line before he got there. They already know who are the ones that will be that will cause problems in this new world order. They already know which ones. And you know what? If you are a Bible believing Christian, you are at the top of their list. So if you even believe in God, you're a suspect. Okay, but if you're a Bible believing Christian, you go to church and you're on Facebook posting up Bible verses and whatnot, you are the number one target. Because won't no Christian, no real Christian, that was so country, won't no Christian, you know, bow down to no man. This is just the way it is. We're not going to bow down to no man. I'm not going to blow my head and say, oh, I held a fear. So we're the number one target anyway. I'm going off this tangent here. But this is an optics war here. And in this war, it's about when we're going to win the narrative to cause as little as collateral damage in the physical sense, as far as civil wars and outbreaks and riots. We have to cause as civil unrest. We have to cause as little of that as possible. So did Trump have a narrative on January 6th? Now, I'll be real with you, y'all. Trump did not plan for anyone to go out there and break into the buildings. He didn't plan for that. He just wanted the optics of the people outside peacefully protesting. Okay? It wasn't his plan to do that. Antifa was already going to break into the building already. That part he knew already because he had people inside of their camp. But when the citizens went into the camp, into the building, being pushed by Antifa and BLM groups disguised as Trump supporters, when they were allowed to be led in there, they actually made it worse for us. They Trump could have maybe gone into the office in the office, and the optics of excuse me, the optics of the Antifa people, seeing that we had those numbers and almost a million people there, that those optics would have stopped the Antifa and BLM mobs from even trying to go out there and riot. It would have deterred that because they don't have as many people as we have. There's more people in the MAGA movement than there is in Antifa and BLM. And more importantly, there are more cowards in Antifa and BLM. These are rejects. These are dropouts. These are rejects, you know, with like, you know, with probably shelter people, you know, kids who don't have, you know, who live in mama's basement, hasn't really been punched in the face before in their lives. These people are the ones who are in these groups. They're cowards. And when they see these large mobs, like, whoa. As long as they have the numbers over you, they ride and they push. But if they see us in numbers, they don't. So, whoa, we don't want to get involved with that. Every time there was a MAGA event and they saw our numbers, notice how there was no Antifa mobs at, you know, these MAGA events, except for when people got, you know, became less of a group and became more scattered and spread out. It's because they're cowards. So the optics of what happened on January 6th, it really ruined it for Trump because he could have just walked to the office and you know, even in like, in question, I mean, the optics of it, I believe, caused some people who were weak in Congress to make the decision too. You know, to not, you know, not object. But that's sidebar here. Because then, you know, there's also the idea that it was probably planned to have no one reject, some people not object, or and also maybe even to for Pence to even do what he did. Who knows? Now I know he's going to get Mo when this is over. If he ain't there already, he's definitely going to get Mo. He's not going to be killed. But cause I believe he cut a deal, and I'm gonna stop there. But he definitely was cooperating, not against his will. We'll just say that he was cooperating, not against his will, on January 6th. Some of that was strategy, but it was a part of his plea deal because he was involved in stuff involving Trump's. I'll just leave it there. In the past. So, we're in an optics war here. And in this war, it's all about how it looks. So, people say, someone said, well, when are they going to announce the end of the audit? Well, it's already over. Okay? Now, they said yesterday that, you know, it ends yesterday. Okay? But that they may not release the results until next week. So, we're not going to hear anything at all this week. Now, I already know there are some delegates, at least one. All requires is one. At least one delegate has already verbally agreed to, or you know, they're going to recall the vote for Biden. Okay, but at the same time, again, it's an optics war. So what happens here is, if the narrative isn't there for them to take that, to make that plunge and to make that announcement, then they won't make the announcement. You know what I'm saying? It's something like you have to prepare the way so that they can feel comfortable. It's politics. You have to pave the way optically. So now I'm not sure what they're looking for exactly to be in the news, but they're trying to wait for the news to break about the audit results. And like I said, they're going to show us results next week. And then we want to be able, and then I think we'll hear some announcements from different people who are going to recall their votes or at least call an audit. He might wait till after, he or she might wait, them, because it's more than one, obviously. They might wait until after there are other audits. Who knows? I don't know what I'm not on the inside. I only hear pieces of the plan when it happens. I don't know anything in advance right now. I can't give you anything. People say, what's happening next? I don't know. I have no clue. Okay, I only hear about stuff when it happens, before it's news. So if it happened like today, but the news didn't run it yet, I might hear about it. You know what I'm saying? And then of course it'll come out in the news somewhere, you know, later on the day or tomorrow. But I won't hear about it in advance. Anyway, I went way long on this here, but there's some things, you know, happening here with the election, obviously, you know, again. Okay, and now we have the printing companies are now in the news. And so now we're beginning to see how they do this stuff now. This is very interesting here. This is the Gateway Pundit. It says, breaking. Huge printing. Okay, let me get this here. Ballot printing companies better lawyer up. 2020 ballots were modified in multiple Republican areas, forcing adjudication and potential fraudulent vote switching. Okay, that's the headline. This is as of the 11th, so this is like days ago, but you know, this is still relevant today, obviously. This is I'm gonna read to you right now. But what was happening here is in the state. This is I believe in Michigan. This story is being reported about. Yeah, Michigan here. So in Michigan, right? In Michigan, they have a screenshot of the ballots that were printed for Democratic areas. There's a ballot printed for Republican majority areas, like where they mostly vote Republican every year, right? And there's like this cross, this little small T that's printed on the ballot that the printer has to catch it. The machines have to catch it. In that exact spot. so that, you know, it can be triggered, you know, as a valid ballot, right? Excuse me. Well, in the blue counties, the plus or the cross is in the right spot, right? It's in the correct spot. But then in the Republican counties, it's off to the left just a little bit. Just enough so that, you know, it won't read in the machine. Now, it's common to have some errors like that. It's common to have, you know, even, you know, dozens and dozens of errors like that, because not all machines are going to jam. They're going to, you know, papers get hot and moisty, and they get sticky. You know, I was a copy repair expert or specialist back in 2002. And for Xerox, and we used to fix machines, and the machines they had this PR belt that it runs on, and it gets hot sometimes, and if it's humid in the facility, then the papers would jam. And I mean the big ones, the ones that are like Cadillacs, like they're huge, they print checks, everything. I mean they actually have parts like a car, you know. You have the oil. You have the you know, the pistons, not quite that, but you know what I'm saying. You have those that you have different parts of the, you know, of the printer that has to be maintained and managed and clean and everything. Change the oil, all that stuff. And it's common to have some papers, you know, at times they will stick, and then, you know, you'll get a little skew. But in this case here, we're seeing that only in the Republican-controlled areas was the paper, the ballots where they were all skewed in those areas. Not all, but a lot of them were skewed. 68% of them in Republican areas were skewed. Are you hearing me? That's a large number. They were skewed. Actually, someone said that, you know, that in some counties, they were 80%. 89% is my guess. It was 89%, you know, error rate in some counties where you have, you know, all these ballots in one county and only 10% of them are printed right. Now, we never knew why they were failing, okay? Before, we just heard that they were failing only in Republican areas. Now we know how. It was so that they have this cross, this T that was off. Now, watch this here. So we reported this is the piece here. We reported in December that inventor and data expert Jovan Hutton Pulitzer identified a pattern in Georgia where Republican district ballots were printed differently than Democratic district ballots. The Republican areas, this is actually Georgia, actually, this piece is. But this happened also in Michigan as well. Were set up where a large percentage would go to adjudication. Now, adjudication, y'all, that's when, for those of you who don't know, that's where, you know, you have an error. The machine wouldn't read the ballot for any reason. Maybe you didn't fill out a circle right. Maybe you know, didn't use the right, you didn't use the right pen. You had a Sharpie instead, and it bled through, and the bleed through caused an error in reading the vote. And then they say, okay, well, they used the wrong thing, or they didn't fill out, you know, a circle right. So let's take out the machine and let's see, you know, which one they really chose. And then the person gets to decide, well, he didn't vote for Trump, he voted for Biden. That's what it means to adjudicate. So they did these in Republican areas only, where typically those counties go to Republicans to trigger, you know, an 80% error rate in those counties. Now, there's another article. See, that this is here. It's just those are the ballots in general, where they had the plus or the cross just aligned to the left, you know, or the right a little bit enough to cause the error, but only in Republican areas. Here is another one here, where it's the same place now. This is also in Fulton County, but it happened also, you know, also in Michigan as well too. This is from the Spectator magazine or newspaper. This is the Arizona firm. This is actually, I'm going on further here. It says, although not listed as a member of the executive, I'm going further than that. Over 1 million Georgia voters received absentee ballots for the June primary, right? Over 1 million absentee ballots were distributed to Georgia in the last election. So the company that's printed the ballots here, they supplied, number one, they supplied 30% of the Arizona audit on the Arizona votes. 30%. This is not of the state. The company is called Runbeck, and they have a base in operation in Arizona as well. They have places all over the U.S., but one of the main areas to print was in Arizona. 30% of the ballots from that were printed in Arizona make up a third basically of all the ballots in the U.S. Are you hearing this? They supplied a third of all the ballots in the U.S. And these machines are failing, or these ballots are being printed up wrongly on their machines. So this is why, the Arizona thing is so huge, because they're in Arizona, they're in one county, and they're finding, hundreds of thousands of ballots in one county that are missing. Why? Why are they missing? Because they had the fire over there months ago in Arizona. They had the fire in Georgia where they burned the ballots in Georgia and they burned it, in Arizona. Why? What were they doing? They were hiding those fake ballots. I believe. This is just, I believe they were hiding. They were trying to get rid of the evidence here. Now, that company printed a third of all the ballots in the U.S. On their website, it says they printed 70 million ballots. 70 million ballots? Are you aware that so-called, Biden had, well, he probably only had like $40,000. There's only 150,000 voters in the U.S. They printed half the ballots in the U.S. Now, here's why it's important. They gave, they had two batches of ballots. They had the regular ballots, that we get from, when we go there to vote in person, and then we vote in person. That's one, kind of ballot. Then they had the absentee ballots. And watch this here. So the ballots that were in, that we had to vote on at the voting facilities, right, on voting day, they're the ones that had the cross and the T that was off. So then they would trigger adjudication. Now watch this. If you were an absentee ballot and you were in a Republican district, you would have a barcode on yours, on your ballot. But if you were an absentee ballot and you did not have, and you was in a Democratic district, that barcode wouldn't be there. That the piece here explains here, but I'm gonna go ahead and make it easier for you. I'm not gonna read to you. I'm just gonna tell you what it means, what it says. So in Fulton County, now mind you, this is one county. Now it's the largest county for conservatives in Georgia, just like Maricopa is the largest county for conservatives in Arizona. And then if you go to Michigan, Atrium County is in the largest county in Michigan, and so on, for Republicans. If you were a Republican, you had a barcode on there. The barcode would trigger an error. Are you hearing this? They say 69.2% of the votes in the ballots in Georgia had the barcode on there. Which means that if the barcode was on your ballot, that barcode would trigger an error in the machine. Are you hearing this? And so now that they had I think about 20%, somewhere in the range here, of the barcode in blue counties too. But it was a smaller margin. But in Republican counties, it was almost 70%. The barcode was there. The barcode would trigger the need for adjudication. It's almost like a little code there that is given to the machines. Remember that there was an SQL? I read it the other day, yesterday actually. There was an SQL software in the machine, and it wasn't supposed to be there. And it was like a back door for hacking. Well, they had softwares, you know, in the machines that actually allow for the machines to read a barcode and determine that, okay, this is a Republican district here. Trigger, you know, an error. So that people can look at it to make sure that they're not voting for Trump. They switched the votes. This is just the absentee ballots, y'all. This is just the absentee ballots in Fulton County, Georgia. We haven't even arrived at the machines changing the votes themselves. We haven't even looked at we haven't even arrived at the machines changing the votes. We haven't even arrived at the machines giving Joe Biden more points for his votes than Trump had for him. Are you aware that Trump was only getting 0.33% of the vote? So if you voted for Trump in Georgia and you're Republican, well, period, you were granted 0.33 points. It required three votes to equal one vote in some counties, not everywhere, but in certain counties. Are you aware of that? So Joe Biden was not only did he have votes switched for him, and not only did he have the ballots triggering errors because the printing companies purposely did this. Now, by the way, y'all, they have a contract with Dominion. They have a contract with Dominion. Runbeck, we didn't even know the name of the company until now. Now they're in the news. Now this is going to, I'm telling y'all, there's going to be a whole lot of people going to jail here. Lynn Wood, I won't even read it. I didn't mark it off, as a quote that I should read, but it's on Telegram. But I should have, because it's good. And he basically said so many words. He said people thought that the deep state was only in the federal government. But then he said, now you know that is beyond the federal government. It's in every state. And then he says, what will draining the swamp look like when it happens? In other words, what he's saying is, you're going to be shot. Your jaws, I mean, our jaws are going to drop. We're already expecting a massive amount of arrest. Our jaws are going to drop. Because it ain't going to just be people in the federal government and the Congress and Senate. It'd be mayors. It'd be county councils. It's going to be people on the school board. And then it's going to be people in large corporations that make the products that we sell, that we buy, that make the movies that we watch. It's going to be a large number of people. So this is now coming out now. And here's the thing here. 70 million votes. Their response, and this is bragging, this is on their website. They're bragging on their website at runbeck.net. In the about section, they brag about reaching more than 70 million voters with their machines. So they're literally supplying half the, it's 30%. It's really half of the ballots in this country. Are provided by this one company that cut a deal with Runbeck. I mean, with Dominion. So this is a large scale operation here, right? Now we're seeing how they cheat. So before, we were all focused on the machines, and now we're like, okay, well, the voting machines itself, then the software, and now we're talking about printing. So we're seeing a new aspect to their operation. We're beginning to see how they cheat every year. Now you know why Pelosi has been there for 40 years. and Schumer and Biden. And just go on. Robert Byrd was a KKK recruiter. This was the a senator in my state now, West Virginia. I'm not from here. I live here now, but I wasn't born here or anything. Last 7 years, I was here. But in my state, Senator Byrd, he died, what, in 2010, 11? And of course, I mean, he was a Klan recruiter. And he was there for like 40, 50 years. A Klan recruiter. A former Klan recruiter. Stefan, he disavowed the Klan. Really? So someone who hated black people for all his life got into politics and he just renounced it. And he can renounce all that, you know, and be in good standing. How is that possible? I tell you, it's good to be a Democrat. It is really good to be. You can be the most vilest person in the world. And as long as you toe the party line, you're forgiven. But these guys should have lost years ago. There's no way that Pelosi is winning every year like this. Schumer. We can go on a list. There's no way. As vile as they are, as cruel as they are, as I'm talking about in their district where people they generally do not like what they have done in their districts. How do they keep winning? Now we know how. Now we know how. And this is only a part of it. So here's a piece here in the this is MSN.com. And I'm going to read it to you, but I'll tell you. It says, mail-in ballot company rejected by Tarrant County defends quality. Okay, now I'm not reading the story because this is a political nut job trying to surround the run-back company with the guard. But the company that had the issues in Texas, also in Texas, is run-back. Now Trump won Texas because they couldn't cheat enough there to pass him. He was destroying Joe Biden. He could not even come close. They tried too. So now we have another. So we have Georgia. We have Michigan. We have Arizona. And I didn't read that story, but also in PA now, they all have run back ballots in their states. Old ballots printed up by Runbeck. And look what's happening here. We have all this all the potentials in Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. We already audited Arizona already. And so the pattern here is really growing here. And we're seeing how they cheat. And I'm getting short on time here. So here's a story that, you know, was read. It came out the other day. It came out yesterday. This is in the Daily Wire. It says, Myanmar civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi goes on trial for corruption. Now, she was the president that she won her race in her country, in Myanmar. Okay? And they used the Myanmar machines, y'all. They used the voting machines that we use, too. And of course, in their country, they said, we ain't having this crap. The military got up there and had a coup and removed her, right? So her party is now being dismantled, by the way. Says Myanmar civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi appeared in court on Monday and is facing charges deemed by critics as a bogus political motivation, bogus and politically motivated, of course. She was taken into custody after the military took control over the country earlier this year. Suu Kyi and her National League of Democracy Party were extremely successful in last year's elections, but the military decided that the votes were inaccurate and took over. That's kind of interesting here because in the piece here, it says that the military decided the votes were inaccurate and took over. Michael Flynn had a comment on Telegram, that said that what would happen if, when the fraud is proven, basically, would the military step in? He said, yes. Are you saying here that we're headed towards a Myanmar event here? I believe so. The Washington Post reported shortly after her detention that Suu Kyi was charged with possessing and importing walkie-talkies without a license, but the military steadily slapped on more severe charges, including, in other words, the Post was trying to cover for her, but they wasn't going to reveal to her, to the world, what she really was charged with. They added more charges later on, including corruption and violating the Colonial Era Secrets Act in their country. She faces a total of 7 charges, and it's not important right now. Let me go on here, a little further here. Somewhere here, I wanted to read to you. I saw it earlier today. I'm getting a long time here. But yeah, according to Myanmar Now reporting from last week, many young activists were sentenced to prison and tortured. This is not, you know, our country here. We don't do that here. I'm laughing because I know what happens at Gitmo after being arrested for allegedly protesting the coup. So basically, in the country, what happened here is they arrested her, right? They shut her party is shut down. They literally dismantled the Democratic Party in Myanmar. They took it all the way down to nothing, which I can see that happening here. Listen, y'all. Yesterday, I've already gave you this yesterday here. When they cheated in the election and they certified the election on January 6th, no Democrat, not one Democrat objected. Okay? Only 7 in Senate. Not one Democrat in Congress objected. Are you hearing me? Not one Democrat in Congress. And only 100 Republicans objected to the results. That means that the entire Democratic Party is going down. The entire Democratic Party is going down. Myanmar, yes, is more third world than us as far as economy, but Myanmar is still, they have a constitution just like us. Ours is better. But they have theirs. They are a democratic republic like us. That's why this is important. It's a mirror. Now it is China, so they have you know their communist stuff over there. But we have it here too. So what's the difference? But they are a close example to who we are and what we are. They have voting rights. They have voting laws. They have the right to free speech. In the protests, right? But here's the thing here. They cheated using the same machines that we cheated with, right? And the entire party, the entire Democratic Party over there was in on it. And now they're gone. They're dismantled. They don't even exist anymore. Now they might revise the party and return, but for the time being, it's being dismantled. That's going to happen here in the U.S. The same way. Not saying the party is gone for good, because you can't kill that mindset. It's not the name. It's the mindset. They'll just call it something else. And it'll be the same thing. They want to control. They want power. They'll rename it if they want to, or give it, or have it be the same name and just repeat the process again. You can't kill an idea. However, you can dismantle the people who are involved with it. And can you imagine seeing all the entire Democratic Party taken down? Congress, Senate, all the mayors are gone. All the mayors are gone. Especially the mayors who allow for rioting. The mayors and the governors who allow for rioting are gone. This is what Lyndon Wood was saying. That you're going to be shocked watching this swamp drain, because it's going to be people that you would not think are going down. People on your school board, people in your county council, people that's maybe your governor or your mayor going down, their DAs and their AGs and stuff. It's going to be the swamp is going to be drained And when the swamp is drained, what's going to happen when you remove that many people at the same time? What's going to happen? The government will be incapacitated. And what do you have to do? You need to bring in the military. This is what Michael Flynn is talking about when he says that when the fraud is proven, the military would have to step in, just like it did in Myanmar. You have to remove the people involved. You have to bring these people to justice and hold a public trial for the leader. And see, now the leader was the president that won. I'm gonna call her Suki. And Suki. She is the one who was the winner, so-called winner, and she has a trial now. So that means that in the U.S., when we prove the fraud, they're all arrested. Now there's no one to run the country. There's no one to write the law. There's no one to control the cities. So you have to put in a temporary government until you can have new elections. Are you following me? It really is not that hard to figure out. You bring them down, you arrest them. Now you have all of these vacancies of power. And who's going to keep the order? Oh, you bring in the people with guns and say, okay, your mayor is gone. Your governor is gone. You would not riot. You would not burn down Walmart. You would not go get a TV. It's going to be law and order. And quite frankly, this should have happened a long freaking time ago. So we're going to see this Myanmar event happen here, in my opinion. And it's going to be an event that's going to shock people because they don't understand what's happening here. They weren't following it like we are. It's going to shock people who are on the right. Because they're sitting here thinking that this is all a game. That we're being played by the Republicans, that Trump is really deep state and he's just playing us along. He's stringing us along. We're all being set up, you know, for the slaughter. And now we're sitting here looking at the progression here in Myanmar. And that is the blueprint for what's going to happen here. That's why it's been reported here like that. That's why people are looking at this area and reporting it, because they already know that this is a mirror of what will happen here soon. And the swamp will drain. And it won't just be people in the federal establishment. It'll be states. It'll be private corporations. The WHO, the CDC. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be judges are going down. It's going to be shocking. The movie, the people who made the movies in advance, they'll air out the last scene of the movies. You know, the ones that are already created. If you notice, you know, they've kind of ceased the dates now of the new movies that were coming out, because a lot of the people, you know, probably won't be around anymore. They're going to be gone. Not over the election, because they're going to bring out the election. Remember now, in the piece here, it says, you know, the president here, she was charged with some crimes, right? And then it started adding more crimes to her. And they keep on adding more crimes. What happened to Ghislaine Maxwell? She was brought in for one crime, and they kept adding crimes to her over time. And as a year went past, and they added on more crimes, and they're still adding on more charges. Why? Because to catch Al Capone, you catch him where you can prove a crime first. You get him on taxes. And after you get more taxes, you killed this person over here. Okay, you killed them over there. Oh, you sold drugs here. Then you get them on racketeering. You get them on crime. You can tack on all the other crimes. And while you have him, he's already going to jail. But you can now go to court and argue that he's committed these crimes too. Are you hearing me? Why is that important? because they're going to be brought in for election theft, brought in for printing, you know, these ballots the wrong way, brought in for covering up in the news media and lying to the people and suppressing votes, brought in on lying about the pandemic and lying about, you know, HCQ not working, lying about, you know, what was really killing folks, lying about the vaccines. Are you hearing me? They're going to be brought in on those charges. And when once they're brought in on those charges, oh, wait a minute here. Did you molest this boy over here? Did you kill this little girl after you cut her throat and peel her face off and wore it on your face and dance around a freaking altar? Did you drink her blood? Did you have him on a table, strap him on a table and drink his freaking blood, drain his blood out? Are you hearing me? Y'all, I be reading these stories. I'll be reading these stories on these victims and these occults, these kids. It's just stuff, it's like you, it's shocking. They're going to bring them in on one charge and they're going to tack on the other charges. So they're going to be brought in on the fraud. And okay, yeah, well, and people say, oh, yeah, he did kind of do that. And all of a sudden, a year later, or maybe even, you know, months, or maybe even weeks, maybe days, boom. Trafficking. What? He was involved with this too? Oh, and now all of a sudden, that's how you slow walk people down the path to the things that were commonly discussed in the media and the mainstream media and in Hollywood on TV and every area of influence as being conspiracies. That's how you walk them down the path. You have to shock them in the area that's more believable. And then after that shock wears off, and then they'll start to, you know, well, what else do they do? Boom, trafficking. Boom, you know, pedophilia, whatever. And suddenly, that's how you wake the people up. I'm done here. But there are people who will not wake up until they see stuff like this happen. They're going to literally sit back on their hands and say, no, this is not happening, man. You're crazy. And until they see people fall. There's people right now who still don't believe that the election was stolen. But you wait until they frog march somebody to jail. And then, boom, here comes the proof. Here comes the videos. Here comes the audios. They've been recording these people. Trump's team has been monitoring. This is what Schiff and Pelosi them are freaking out about. They have 73 calls, 73 phone numbers that they were monitoring, y'all. Monitoring. They start with Schiff and Swalwell, and it swelled to 73 numbers that they were monitoring. What kinds of exchanges? What kinds of conversations were legally intercepted? Did they hear them talking about what they want to do with the election? Did they hear them buying kids? What will come out later on in the news or even just on some kind of website that's going to reveal all this stuff here? Keep in mind, and I'm about to go here. Keep in mind, the FEMA has announced on their website there's going to be a national testing on the emergency broadcast system. They're getting ready. They're gearing up to tell people that the election, you know, has been overturned. Here are some arrests. They're getting ready for what's coming. And I want you to understand, y'all, that we're going to see some real strange things happen the next few weeks. Bombings, explosions, shootings, any kind of distractions, y'all. They're already projecting power outages. They're already projecting that there could be an internet outage in different areas from cyber hackers. Or in Texas, because you're overwhelming the power grid with your AC. Oh, you and your AC. You live in a desert, y'all. You live in a desert. They want you to not use AC in a desert. Are they stupid? It's unbelievable. And they're already preparing for this crap because they know it's coming. So I wouldn't be a part of the crowd who believes that nothing is happening. I would be in the crowd that believes that everything is happening at the right pace, at the right speed, at the right time. And you should be encouraged that we have patriots out there who are really fighting for our freedoms, you know, for God and country. And I believe that we're going to win this war. I'll see you tomorrow.